Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be sunshine and warm again. We'll have a high mid to the upper 80s. Kenosha right now, temperature reading. We go and find out that things have improved just a little bit in terms of the numbers. It lists right now at 68 degrees. It's 75 in Burlington, 73 in Milwaukee, 71 in Racine. Well, with the labor market already tight in southeast Wisconsin and thousands of new jobs potentially on the way with the Foxconn project, civic and business leaders are hoping to come up with a strategy to fill employers' labor needs. One step in that direction is regional this afternoon. It includes representatives from various schools and business development groups. UW Parkside is hosting it. Chancellor Debbie Ford is going to be one of the leaders and the speakers there.
The seminar and workshop is really about addressing talent needs through collaboration. And I think it's something that not only are we looking at the needs that Foxconn will bring, but also what are the needs that our current partners have? And we have to think about the whole ecosystem, not just one organization.
Following some public comments, the summit includes a closed-door workshop with Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, State Department of Workforce Development Secretary Ray Allen, and Rebecca Kowalski, a vice president with the temporary help firm Manpower. The worst-kept secret is that Foxconn is looking to build that big manufacturing plant in Mount Pleasant. Everybody's still waiting on the formal announcement, but another component for consideration, something that the company has done with facilities in Asia, housing, a separate but nearby complex that could become home to thousands of workers. The Milwaukee Business Journal cites chatter among several local officials, Foxconn reportedly eyeing the town of Yorkville right across the interstate from where this big complex would go. Yorkville Chairman Peter Hansen says he's also heard the talk, but he also tells the publication the company has yet to approach the town directly. The Business Journal asked Foxconn directly through an email, got a response. It can't publicly disclose details of the project in southeast Wisconsin until things are finalized. Pleasant Prairie's Plan Commission has a public hearing tonight on some plans submitted by Bear Development of Kenosha for a large multi-component commercial project near Green Bay Road and Highway 165.
An amendment to the village's comprehensive plan is needed for the project to move forward. Bear is proposing a 60,000-square-foot grocery store, a 23,000-square-foot multi-tenant building, two retail buildings, a retail service building, plus a convenience store. Bear Development is working with United Hospital System, which is planning a 50,000-square-foot medical office building as part of the same proposed development to be called Main Street Market. In October, United Hospital System will adopt the Fredericton Medical College brand for expanding the affiliation with the Wauwatosa-based health system, followed by a name change to Fredericton South. Milwaukee-based Aurora Healthcare is also expanding its presence in Kenosha County with plans for a $130 million medical office building and outpatient care center west of I-94. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
If you or someone you know works for Target, the retail chain today announcing it's going to raise the hourly minimum wage to $11 starting next month. Company also says it wants to have that boosted to $15 an hour by the year 2020. The wage increase would also apply to the 100,000 seasonal workers Target's planning to hire for the upcoming holiday season. The federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. There's a group in Kenosha called Congregations United to Serve Humanity. It's kind of like the Racine Interfaith Coalition. CUSH has started a fundraising effort to create a homeless shelter for those who are not covered by the new Shalom Center because they have issues like drugs, mental illness, alcohol, or a criminal history. Group has an aggressive goal of establishing that shelter by the 1st of December, the intent to make up for what the now-closed First Step facility had offered. The Kenosha News, quoting CUSH project organizer Marietta Huff, is saying the shelter would cost about $100,000 to start. The seniors group Adventures in Lifelong Living will meet at 2 o'clock this afternoon in the Student Center Theater at UW Parkside. Scheduled guest speaker is to be David Rozelle. Now, he wrote this book called The Kid Who Climbed the Tarzan Tree, Flashbacks on a Life Saved by a Children's Home. That children's home is the one-time Taylor Home for Children on Taylor Avenue in Elmwood Park. That's where an original stone tablet from the site found hidden on the grounds is being displayed now with a new sign going up. Former Professor Rozelle, by the way, spent 1944 to 49 as a kid from the home. Public, welcome to attend the gathering. Again, 2 o'clock this afternoon, the Student Center Theater at UW Parkside. Recent changes to municipal sex offender residency ordinances, loosening up the restrictions due to court challenges, factored into a Burlington woman recently pleading her case to the Common Council about the inability to sell her home because there's a sex offender living close by. The woman, named Sheila, said it's been an aggressive attempt to sell since the beginning of the year, but with just one viewing. Her complaint was that a registered offender is allowed to reside in a subdivision, something the city's attorney, John Belogic, says is tied to state law and those recent lawsuit rulings.
I've asked Chief Anderson if we ever are considering prosecuting anybody under our ordinances. I'd like this talk first just to make sure that we're still in compliance with the new, more lenient provisions of the state law.
Belogic informing Sheila that he would look into her situation in terms of the offender's status with the corrections office, but doubted anything could really be done to help her out. A lawsuit against the village of Pleasant Prairie and a judge's ruling triggered other communities, including Racine, Caledonia, and others, to amend their more restrictive ordinances and create more available housing for sex offenders. City of Racine's Finance and Personnel Committee set to meet at 5 o'clock at City Hall. Just one agenda item. Purchasing agent Kathy Casper recommends Vosh Excavating and Grading for the contract to take down the apartment complex and adjoining church at 716 16th Street. The building inspector had closed it weeks ago due to asbestos and other hazards. Balestrary, a company recently approved for the lead abatement contract. The bid from Vosh to raise the site just under $58,000. That was a residential portion that was built in 1887. It was a multifamily home at the time. Caledonia's Community Development Authority has a meeting at 5 o'clock at the new Village Hall. Among the agenda items there, discussion about Foxconn, expected to be announced, of course, soon for the Mount Pleasant-Sturtevant area. The resolutions that will be considered impact on Caledonia as well as on the CDA itself. Well, Racine's Lakefront Festival site has been renamed Paul P. Harris Rotary Park. And while there's public perception that it doesn't get used as much anymore because there aren't as many festivals, for whatever reason that perception, the calendar shows that the place is still quite busy and it's bringing in revenue to reduce the city's annual subsidy. In a presentation to the Alderman recently, Executive Director Amanda Gaines with VenueWorks talked about attendance going up with these different types of events over the past few years.
We've seen increases mainly in the private events, which consist of the banquets, the weddings, the meetings, and a few other categories as well. But we've been consistently increasing the attendance. And with that comes an increase of events. So as you can see from 2014 to last year, 2016, we went from 169 events to 176.
Expected to help the bottom line, she said, a change this year in operational procedures regarding concessions and the use of exclusive vendors. She credits her staff for making the festival site and Memorial Hall viable uses for these different events.
We have a dedication to customer service. Customer service is very important to us. I have an amazing staff. They work hard. They give up their nights. They give up their weekends. They give up their holidays to make events happen, and they are really the reason why these events keep coming back.
Last week, the Racine Council voted 9-5 to extend the contract with VenueWorks for 18 months beyond the end of the current contract, which ends December 31st, that to incorporate the company's expertise in planning new venues like the proposed event center. A project to expand the restrooms at Simmons Field in Kenosha being put on hold right now. Two bids received exceed the funding available for the project. The Public Works Director telling each group that the Northwoods League gave the city $100,000 for the project. The low bid received from Camosi Construction was for nearly $130,000. The Parks Commission is going to talk about it at 5 p.m. The Public Works panel will be meeting at 5:30. The Mount Pleasant Village Board meets at 6:30 tonight. On that agenda, discussion, possible action on a report from the engineering consultants Terracon and their recommendations for emergency bluff stabilization along Lake Michigan in Lake Park. And how about this? Walmart proposing to test something out that would allow you, the customer, to use smartphone technology, remotely open the door to your residence for the delivery of whatever grocery items you order. Customers can also link their phones to home security cameras and watch a live stream of somebody else going inside and putting away the groceries. Cold and frozen foods would be included. Walmart testing it right now in Silicon Valley.